Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome to the Wolverine.com podcast video version. I am John Borton, and we're here with Tom Crawford, our man in East Lansing, who comes to us on a variety of Michigan sports topics, certainly none bigger, and welcome, Tom, I will say that.
Oh, it's great to be here.
None bigger at this point than the fact that the big man himself, Hunter Dickinson, is back for his junior season in a Michigan uniform. How big is that?
It's huge, and I think we all figured it was going to happen. Thankfully, it did happen. You know, I've been on a couple radio and podcasts about. I was watching the NBA this weekend. Once college basketball is over with, I know a lot of people don't like the NBA, but I immediately put all my basketball, passion into the NBA, and I was watching parts of all eight games. You know, 4-4, and I'm thinking, Hunter's not ready to fit into this nonsense. It's a 94-foot game. I mean, he can be – I think he's going to be a role player in the NBA when he does get to the NBA. But the sheer athleticism is not there for him to fit into that grind that I saw on this weekend at the highest level. So it's great, and I'm sure the NIL was nice and sweet and enticing, and he likes being around here. He's hanging around Comerica. He's going to the spring game. He's living in Southeast Michigan. He's living in Ann Arbor. It's all good, man. I'm certainly happy he's back.
Well, there's no question that he is a major celebrity around the Michigan campus, yeah. And that attention has to be fun, and he enjoys that. What would you say, though, out of the two things that you mentioned, could have been the bigger factor here? Could it be the fact that scouts are not looking at him as a surefire NBA prospect with some of the athleticism issues that we're talking about? Or could it be that he understood he could make some money coming out playing basketball for somebody somewhere, but it was more attractive given the fact that we are in the NIL era, that he knew that he was going to be able to not only have some financial security there, but also have another shot at a Big Ten title, another year in school, another shot at a run in the NCAA tournament.
Well, you can notch off all the above of what you saw. You really framed it there really nicely, John. That's exactly all those things come into play. I think the NIL certainly has changed the landscape. You know, we've talked about it before. I don't mean this in a negative way, but it's basically legalized cheating. Players can make money. I mean, it used to be the joke when guys would leave Kentucky to go to the NBA. It's like, why are they doing that? How can they afford the pay cut? Go from Kentucky to the NBA. I know that was a wink, wink joke, but in reality, I think for Hunter Dickinson, it would have been a lesser amount of revenue generation. Because I don't think he would have necessarily made an NBA team. I don't think he would have got drafted, which That's kind of a humbling experience. If you come out early, you don't get drafted. So say he went to the NBA and played in the CBA and got his, you know, $150K a year, which is all well and good, but he can stay at Michigan, develop his game, have Juwan Howard to help him, go chase a Big Ten title, go see how far he can go in the NCAA tournament again, maybe get to the title game, Final Four, who knows? And then make upwards. I'm hearing, now this is just, you know, sprinklings of, you know, sources here and there, up to $3 million in NIL. I mean, that's crazy, but that's where college basketball is headed.
If they decide to give us that for this podcast, we're going to stay here. We're not moving.
We'll do the podcast. We'll do the Wolverine.com podcast until we're like 90, 95, JB. I'll have that vibrancy for living a long life if that happens.
There you go. Hey, you know, it doesn't matter what NBA scouts say at this point in terms of his skills. He is going to be a dominant force once again in the Big Ten and in college basketball. And for Michigan, that changes everything, I think. If you have that centerpiece, that literal centerpiece to build around, suddenly the rest of your lineup just got better.
Yeah, I mean, he's a matchup nightmare for, I know, one particular school, Michigan State. I mean, Hunter played great in both those games, especially the second game when he had 33-9, and he just dominated that game. Man among boys, is, you know, Michigan State was throwing everything at the kitchen sink trying to stop him in that 17-point win. But, yeah, there are certain teams that match up better with him than others and some that don't, like I just cited. But, when I look at him I know he's 7 foot wingspan. He's got great hit. You know, he's got all that baby hook. He's really got that down, and he's improved his perimeter game quite a bit. But he could, you know, he could get in the weight room and buff up a little bit more. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, I'm focused on his physique that much, but I mean, he could be a little more cut up, if you know what I mean. And you imagine, I mean, then you're really, you know, and you can do that at different, you know, stages, of your career. So I just think that the ceiling is still fairly high for him. And I think he's excited about what Juwan's going to have around him. So he won't be doubled down so much and, having to rotate that ball off. Maybe Michigan could conquer that, get some better a perimeter shooting, which I think is coming, starting with Jet Howard and some others, and maybe the transfer from Texas Tech, who knows, that can free things up even more for him to work down low.
Well, we're going to talk about that, but first, you mentioned Michigan State. I've got the perfect pregame scenario for the first Michigan-Michigan State game next year. Since Hunter Dickinson's going to be back with his strong relationship with Tom Izzo, I think that as a pregame peace offering, you send a box of Juwan Howard's famous pass around donuts, and Hunter walks down to Tom Izzo and hands it to him before the game, and then he's free to dunk on the Spartans and bark a little bit.
Yeah, just like Juwan Howard does at the opening first day of class down there at the Diag in Ann Arbor, passing out donuts to all those students. And, that's pretty awesome. It's going to be – you bring up an interesting point because Hunter has really dug himself some – he's got the stares of the benches, and he's irritated a lot of – he might be the guy that everybody hates next year. Who knows? But he certainly hasn't helped his cause in that. But maybe he thrives on that, and maybe that's what get his motor going. Whatever works –
if he gets some people off their game, I'll tell you what, he could be joined by another two very impressive guys, but they took a different route. They did not. We're talking, of course, about Musa Diabate and Caleb Houston. They didn't say, okay, we're back for sure. They are going through the process. They've announced that they're going to go through the NBA process, and I wasn't surprised by that at all because they're in a situation where they want to hear that feedback. Hunter Dickinson has gone through it once and has had people weigh in. But these other guys, they want to hear what the NBA has to say. Your prediction on how this might go and whether or not one or both will be back in uniform for the Wolverines.
Yeah, first of all, I think it's great. I mean, it's like I had Tim McCormick on a podcast. He talked about that was a great process for Hunter to go through last year. It got, you know, opened his eyes what he needs to work on. He didn't need to go back because he still learned from that process. I think it's their time, Musa Diabate and Kayla Houston, to learn that, to have an outsider give you the reality check. I think we know what they're going to be told, that they're not ready. Musa Diabate, I mean, sometimes he looked, you know, he'd travel. He couldn't handle the ball down low and congestion and things like that. He could grow a lot. But, I don't know. I can't get a read on Musa. You know, I don't know. You know, he could do a variety of things. He could, if he's bound and determined to, you know, he's going to go pro, he could go international. Or and then Caleb is an interesting one. I don't think he's going to go to the NBA. I think he's either going to come back, or he might even do the transfer portal. I hope that isn't the case, because I think we've suffered through all the groin pains of Caleb Houston. I think the payoff for us Michigan fans is next year. I hate to see some else team benefit from it, but you know, if Michigan gets some new blood coming in here, with the portal, I don't know. And nothing surprises me anymore. We're going to find out in the next few weeks, obviously.
Well, and one other thing we'll find out about, you referenced his name already, but Terrence Shannon Jr. out of Texas Tech, a reported potential transfer. We know that he has had contact with Hunter Dickinson and, a big guard, small forward. Mm-hmm. Talk about him a little bit and what you've seen out of him.
Well, I saw him. It was funny. I'm watching I was at a Michigan game in a suite. I was watching that game, that famous game that they had, Texas Tech in Texas. And he had a really, I go, that guy's pretty good. We could use somebody like that. And ironically, he might be coming to Michigan, because that's what Michigan needs. I mean, that's the thing that we all were banging our heads against the table. Is there going to be any consistent perimeter shooting? Sometimes Caleb was on, sometimes off. Boy, he would be a great asset. It seems like this dance routine has been long, and it looks like it might happen. I don't know if it's an admissions thing. I don't know what takes so long on all this stuff. You want to find out. But maybe it's like, who's coming back? I mean, and Cam Houston, you know, his decision might, well, it's like, who's coming back? Who am I competing against? Maybe that's part of it. It's like, this is so difficult for college coaches to fill their roster. It's like trying to fill a plane. I keep using that analogy. You want a full plane, so you overbook the flight.
Then they cancel the flight.
And then they can't. Yeah, there's that too. But my point. But anyway,
I know.
You get what I'm talking about, which is why Jay Wright left college basketball a little bit earlier. I mean, you have to compete every day in the portal. And the NILs and all these moving parts are driving coaches crazy.
Sure.
Beeline was smart enough to get out of that before when he saw that nonsense coming down the road. God, it's just, you don't know what you got until June 1st.
Yeah. Beeline was smart enough to get out of college basketball when he did, but didn't have the foresight to avoid jumping into an NBA situation that was a mess.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Anyway, he's in a better spot now. Let's shift gear. Well, before we shift over to football, and I've got a little football on my mind, because we are right now working on a publication that you tend to enjoy and promote relentlessly.
Yes,
that would
I
be
do.
the Wolverine football preview. But before we get away from basketball, I just want to have you weigh in on, give me a, I know there are a lot of things that we don't know yet, but if everything went in an optimum fashion for the way Tom Crawford looked at it, give me a starting lineup for basketball next year where you would start things.
Oh, let's go. I got to think of all the names now. Obviously Hunter Dickinson in the post. You're going to have, Frankie Collins, in my mind, has got to be the point guard. I mean, he's proven that. He's at one guard. Now, I don't know what's going to happen at the situation with Terrence Shannon Jr. You know, is it going to be him or Jet Howard at the shooting guard? I don't know. And you're trying to, I don't know if Caleb Houston is going to come back. Yep. T. Will, though, could be at that four. I'll put T. Will. So I've already mentioned five games. Terrence Williams. If he, nothing would shock me. I swear to God, in this portal thing. I mean, yeah. I think Terrence Williams is coming back. I think, I just don't really know about everything. And that's where we're at. But I mean, I think that would be a heck of a lineup. And I also think, I always one of these guys, you got to have depth and everything. I'm going flipping the other direction on this because all these successful teams like Carolina, Duke, and some of these other teams did very well with short benches. I mean, Carolina went the whole freaking half, I think, in the final four with five guys in that semifinal game when they beat Duke, if I'm not mistaken. So just get no more than eight guys in that rotation. Make it dynamic. Make it an all-around type of offensive attack, and then shore up that transition defense and obviously dribble drive penetration defense. Fix that thing because that was a problem last year. There's my wish list right there, and there's probably more wishes as well.
let me throw one more name into the bucket. Just as I look at it, I hope on behalf of the Michigan fans out there, that you get to see a stronger, determined Kobe Bufkin in the lineup.
Funny you bring that name up, but that's another one of those names. And yep. I'm not a rumor monger, but I mean, that's another one of those. That's another one of those individuals that it wouldn't shock me if he went into the portal. I mean, guys go into the portal. That's a 365-day vulnerability.
Yeah,
it seems to me. So, once again, I mean, I cannot wait till we do. We're going to do a pot when this June 1st deadline. When we know what that roster is going to be. Let's really, really dive into this basketball team and get excited. Because I'm going to make this statement right now before we go into the next topic. I don't think going into an athletic academic calendar coming to start September 1. Football and basketball, I have been more excited about the prospects of terrific football and basketball team combinations than this upcoming year. It's been a while. I truly say that in all honesty.
And I think that's well justified, especially as you look at the fact that Dickinson's coming back for basketball. You look at the offensive side of the ball coming back for Jim Harbaugh's crew. And, you mentioned the imports. Michigan football has another import, and that would be one Cam Good, 6'2", 315 pounds, another defensive tackle. A spot that looked like it might be not only last year but this year as well, a bit of a weak spot, has grown into a strength for this Michigan football team, it would appear.
Yeah, and when you say strength, it's besides Cam Good transferring in from Central Florida, I think he's from, disruptive on the interior line. This is what, I keep saying this, salivating, what Georgia did to Michigan, making things disruptive up the middle. It's the stuff that Tom Brady hates in the NFL. He hates the agitation cone up the middle. He hates that pressure up the middle. It bugs him. He can work around, flank the pocket, and the edge rushers he can handle. He can move and forward and dodge. But, you get it up the middle, that's difficult to have that level. If this guy's as disruptive as advertised, Michigan's going to have a heck of a defense. And that's going to be the difference, I think, between last year's vulnerability, to this year's, potential. Is an improved defense, and that's what I'm super excited about for Michigan.
And we know that Mike Elston, who has taken over that defensive line, has really stressed a whole unit pressure, not just having guys come hard off the edge, but getting more out of those defensive tackles, putting more pressure on up the middle, and having it be an all-across-the-board attack. So I'm looking forward to the things that he does schematically and with these new personnel and guys that are coming on, what happens there?
Yeah, I'm super, you know, I think with Elston, I mean, you know, and I remember him as a player back in the, you do as well, obviously. He was kind of a gritty guy, you know, he's one of the old school guys. And he was at Notre Dame in high acclaim. I think that's going to be a difference. I'm not saying what was preached before was a bad thing, you know, and obviously, you know, that superstar, one-year D coordinator there that worked out pretty well. But, linebacking, you know, there's some uncertainty in there of the three levels. You know, we don't really have a read on who's going to be a dominant player in that regard. I mean, who do you think is, I'm going to throw it at you. I'm curious to know who is going to emerge at linebacker, because of the three levels, it's the one that people are not seemingly talking about as much.
Well, and that's interesting because, that was one that was brought up right from the end of the last podcast, because somebody said, why don't you talk a little bit more about linebackers? Because, you know, that others share your concern. I'll tell you what, where it starts for me, linebacking-wise, is Junior Colson.
Yeah,
here's a kid. Here is a kid that has NFL talent. That hasn't been fully developed, as a linebacker, that's not one of the spots where you necessarily plug in a true freshman. I remember even as a redshirt freshman, Jared Irons doing what he did. And that was a big deal, because it takes a while for those guys to adjust and to do all the things that they're in the middle ground, you know, where they have to do a lot of reads and a lot of things that are both physically and mentally demanding. But Junior Colson is a guy that showed me enough as a true freshman to believe that he is going to be that guy that takes the huge leap this year. And certainly they will build around him, but to me, he's the guy to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and then Michael Barrett, a guy who has seemingly been in the program forever, and seemingly he's been there around, you know, where is he going to be? You know, I mean, where's his status at the Will linebacker? Is he one that's going to play more or have a more dominant role? I mean, when he went in there, things got better. I mean, he did some tweaking. Remember that last year?
Yeah.
These are things that I guess we'll learn Big Ten Media Days, and then we ever have a media day for Michigan. I wish we had one of those like we used to, where you could get breakdown individuals. Maybe they don't do that anymore, but post-COVID. But I think we'll know more later in the summer what that linebacker. I mean, I'm curious to know what his situation is.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, certainly been around for a long time, and they found a way to use him. And you know, we realize that you've got a different defensive coordinator now, and he may see Barrett in a whole different light than did his predecessor. We know that they're going to be doing a lot of things in similar ways, but different guy sees, and everybody sees that as, hey, this is a new opportunity. It's a start over, all that kind of thing. I would also say keep an eye out for Jalen Harrell, because I think that that's a name that you're going to hear more as well.
And as we
look at you say, okay, well, how much is Barrett going to do? So much depends on, all right, who's the guy that is the younger guys that are really coming on and could push, because, you know, we were thinking Carson Barnhart quite possibly as your guy at right tackle, and then all of a sudden Jim Harbaugh in the middle of spring ball says, hey, Trent Jones is just blown up and taken charge over there. So that's the kind of thing that we will see between now and that opening game. Okay, we understand the guys that are established and have been around. We know their names. Who are the guys that might make that extra push through the summer, through fall camp that all of a sudden they're going to emerge.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan since that experiment back in the 80s that Jimmy Johnson did in Miami of taking his best secondary guys and beefing them up maybe 10, 12 pounds and put them in linebacker where he had that lateral speed. Remember that concept? And I like speed at linebacker. I want a bunch of Devin Bushes out there. I'm sorry. I'm greedy. That's what
well,
I want.
If you had a bunch of them, you'd be in really good shape.
Not just a stomp on the ass. I mean, that's fine and good. But, I mean, beyond that, what, you know, his capabilities. And I, you know, I think when I look over the years decade-wise, after decade-wise with Michigan, it's something that they really haven't had is speed at linebacker. I mean, there have been occasions. But I think that's what you know, with these wide, you know, with a five wide on the offense and you got a lot of drag patterns and linebackers getting matched up with slot guys, you have to have speed. We saw what happened with Ohio State exploited that a couple of times in Columbus as well as in Ann Arbor. So I want speed, and I don't care what form it is. Just get that speed in linebacker, and that Michigan defense will be really good.
Yep, no doubt about it. Even as far back as 97, Michigan had the strength run-stopping power guys, but they were able to rotate in a pair of pretty speedy linebackers on the best defense that Michigan has ever had. So you are correct. Speed at linebacker, always a key. Tom Crawford, we could do this all day, but
we could.
we'll wrap it up for now. There'll be plenty more to talk about as we get farther into the NBA evaluation period. And as we talk to more guys for the football preview, we're in the midst of some of those conversations. And I always enjoy that because you get insight from all kinds of former Wolverines as well as the guys on the present roster. And I can remember last year. I can remember so well. You were in the midst of this feeling of, yeah, Michigan, whatever. They're going to be, you know, if they finish 500, great.
Yeah.
But they may not. And I remember the intensity. And the defiance and the anger of an Aiden Hutchinson in a one-on-one conversation with him. And he said, yeah, I know exactly what they're saying. I see social media. Let them say what they want to say. We're right. Going to show what we know that we're doing behind the scenes. They'll see.
Well, then, yeah, and you know, in closing, I mean, that's what Michigan is going to have to find on that defense and offense as well, is that leadership that Aiden Hutchinson brought to the table. And that, you know, who is that guy? Who's that guy going to be to do that? But you're right. You know, having a chip on the shoulder is a wonderful thing to have. And I think Michigan is going to always be disrespected. They're going to be hated on. So there's plenty of social media out there to motivate Michigan football players, all 85 scholarship ones and the walk-ons as well. When they look on social media, it's Michigan versus everyone. So use that as your method of create venom on that football
field. There
you go.
It's worked very well for some teams, some programs, and Michigan might as well adopt a little bit of it themselves. Tom Crawford, always great to have you with us. Thank you very much, and we will do this again soon.
Always a pleasure, JB. Look forward to the next opportunity.